Yes, sir, just hang on. The Honorable Mr. Neal will lead your hearing, sir. Just a moment, sir.
Okay, good afternoon, sir. Will you please state your name and agency number for the record?
Michael Roy Ashenfelter, 126149.
Thank you. You're appearing for the Arizona Board of Executive Tennessee in reference to your committee supervision dedicated this afternoon. We'll introduce the board members that will conduct your hearing. To my left is the Honorable Louis Canales. To my right is the Honorable Dr. C.T. Wright, our board chairman, and to his right is the Honorable Michael Johnson. My name is David Neal. I'll be the hearing leader today. Also, in the room, we have Mr. Kerr from the Department of Corrections, and they'll also represent the parole office today. Prior to this hearing, we received a notification form advising you of this board hearing. You remember that form, sir?
Yes, I do. I have it present right here.
Okay. On that form, you're notified of your right to appear and speak on your own behalf or pay a licensed attorney at your own expense. Did you hire an attorney, or are you representing yourself today?
I am representing myself.
Thank you, sir. Well, I'm swearing you as Mr. Kerr at this time. So you solemnly swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth that help you God, and do you so affirm?
Yes, I do.
I do.
Your hearing will be conducted in two phases, sir. One, in phase one, we will determine if the terms and conditions of your community supervision have been violated. And then in phase two, we will determine whether your community supervision should be revoked or reinstated. In phase one, I'm going to read the one allegation that's on your arrest warrant. And after I hear him ask you if it's true or false, if it's false, we'll get some more information from Mr. Kerner and then talk about it. So, allegation number one is violation of Arizona condition of supervision number three, as demonstrated by your act of changing your place of residence at Good Life Recovery, 919 East Broadway Road in Mesa, Arizona, on about March 16th, 2018, without prior approval of your assigned parole officer. Your finger or your whereabouts were unknown, unless you were absconded from supervision. That's true or false, sir?
It is true.
All right. So based on the admission of Mr. Ashenfelter, I'm moved to find that he was delinquent as he violated the terms and conditions of the supervision, and that he may have lapsed or without lapse of the criminal wage or company.
Second.
Agreed.
Motion by myself, second by Mr. Canales, agreed upon by Dr. Wright and Mr. Johnson. Okay, sir, as we get ready to move into phase two, Mr. Turner is going to give some background information. So stay on the phone, and I'll get back to you in just a minute, sir.
All right.
Okay, Mr. Turner.
Yes, sir. Mr. Ashenfelter was released from ADC custody on 8/21/2017 and arrested on 4/9/2018. By Mesa PD on ADC warrant. No new charges. He was back in custody on 4/9/2018 with a adjusted release date of 11/13/2020 with 24 abscond days. Current conviction, 1997, murder in the second degree, 22 years. No prior convictions. This is his first term in ADC. He has a CUIR score of 3.3. Mental health score is 1. Substance abuse score is 3. STG information, there's no STG information noted. No prior terms of supervision. His disciplinary is significant and lengthy with possession of weapons, drugs, violence, rioting, and fighting noted. Other arrest, 1991, unauthorized use of a vehicle in Oregon, felony conviction, probation. 1992, stolen property in Washington, county jail. 1992, robbery in Oregon, county jail. 1994, resisting arrest in Mexico, unknown of the outcome. 1994, leaving an accident with the death of an injury in New Mexico, county jail. 2018, stolen property in Washington, and this says it is pending charges. He has a GB score of G1V4. Other comments, it was noted that at the time of his arrest, the neighbor had called the police department because he was banging on his girlfriend's front door.
Thanks, sir. Okay, Mr. Ashenfelter, we're going to go over a summary of the case supervision. on the right, please. Okay. So, says that on August 21st of 2017, you were released to reside at the Mesa House, 28 South Avenue in Mesa, Arizona. There is August 28, CCO Bill Dumas received a discharge letter from the Mesa House stating the offender was discharged due to disrespect to staff and threatening staff. So August 28th, you're able to return to the Mesa House and establish residence again. October 28th, 2018, CCO Rodriguez received a discharge letter from the Mesa House stating that you had been discharged due to leaving the program. Then on November 17th, 2018, you established residence at Good Life Recovery, 919 East Broadway in the Mesa, Arizona. Then on November 26th, attempt to locate you by CCO Rodriguez, he called Tori from Good Life Recovery, advised the offender had left the residence and the program earlier by November 16th and had not returned to the residence. That was last known address. So what happened, sir, when we left the, was at the Good Life, the last place you were supposed to be, why'd you leave?
Because my car got stolen and I had no way to work. So therefore I called up my sponsor and I went to live with her.
And did you think to talk to your PO about it?
Her mailbox was full and I didn't, and no excuses at all. I take full responsibility for the
Okay, so you were kind of missing for about 24 days. What were you doing during that 24 days?
I was working.
Working?
Yes.
And staying, what was the address you were staying at?
609 North Roanoke Drive.
Okay, is that where were you were kind of on the road and the police came and talked to you?
No.
Okay. What was going on in that?
When I was pounding on the door, I was trying to get them to open up the door, and it wouldn't open.
Well, where was that at?
It was 421 Covina Street. It was four and a half blocks away from where I was living.
Well, who lives there?
My girlfriend, Brianna Fenn.
Okay, is that a house or residence? I mean,
yes, it's a house.
It's a house?
Yes.
The door wouldn't open because they didn't want it to open, or it was stuck?
It was stuck.
So why didn't you go around to the back door?
Because that one was deadbolted. Because I had deadbolted before I left.
Well, was nobody in the house?
No, nobody. My girlfriend's roommate was in the house, but she was in the back room sleeping.
Eating throughout the apartment. Okay.
Yeah, there was no.
So let's see. You're employed by Marlin Services?
Yes.
What
prompted me to leave there is I could not make it out to 53rd and Shea Boulevard. I could not make it anymore because my car was stolen. And I obtained gainful employment through labor temps. I have my last check stub right here. I was gainfully employed. I never had a problem being gainfully employed. gainfully employed through the whole thing, through the whole time I was out. And I had plans on going to school. I'm still planning on going to school to become an electrician. I have 3 more years left on to become a journeyman.
Okay. So, let's see, you showed that trying to decipher this one part of this. And while I was individually offended and reports to task with many results, but then said on September 22nd and on January 11th, 2018, that you failed to report to task with your colors called. Why was that, sir?
I only failed to report because I was on one occasion. And that was because I was at work throughout that whole time. I did a 16-hour shift, and I didn't even check in. I went the next morning as soon as I got off. As soon as I got off work, and as soon as those doors opened for task, I went and I paid.
Okay.
And that can be verified through a bond readiness.
Okay. So it says that you are referring to the CHC's AP program for anger management, but you didn't complete the program. Although you signed up for it, you didn't complete it. What happened there?
Because of this right here.
Because of what?
Because I think it's a 30-week program, 32-week program. And I'm in here, so I couldn't complete it.
Okay, well, I mean, all it shows you is that you completed the intake process, but it doesn't show, and it shows that you didn't complete the program. So you started in middle of the river. How many times did you go?
I think I went 16.
Pardon?
16 to 17 times.
All right. Did that help you at all?
Yes, it did. It did.
Okay. I'm going to see if my fellow board members have any questions at this time. So Mr. Turner.
Okay. I want to double check. I believe that you asked why he had failed to drop a UA, and he said he only failed to drop one time.
Yes, sir.
I'm looking at the tax overall summary on tax report. On 3/20/18, he failed to drop. On 1/11/18, no sample was collected. He failed to drop. 9/22/17, no sample was collected, he failed to drop. Also, he was originally approved to, when he was released from prison, he was approved to roll outside the Mesa House. The PO had received a discharge letter from the Mesa House that the offender had left the program on 10/28/18. He was then approved to live at Good Life Recovery. And then he left that program. So the offender did report after being discharged from the first one. Okay. Not report after the second one. He was aware that he's to report upon leaving that program.
Okay. Thank you, sir. So, any questions from the board members? Okay, sir. We're moving in your hearing now, sir. So, before the board goes into discussion to make a determination, we'd like to allow you the opportunity to make a final statement. Tell us anything else you think might be important for us to know. We just ask that you don't repeat the information we already have.
All right. I have no excuses and no way to explain me being a stupid idiot and throwing away the opportunity to become a productive member of society and the privilege of becoming a productive member of society. I now have a support system in place that is going to put me through school, put me through programs, through anything I need to do to become a productive member of society. As it stands, I spent 22 years in prison. It's been hard for me to adjust to society without a support system. Now that I do have a support system, because the lady that is my sponsor is an ex-California detective on medical retirement. She does not take no bullshit. And that right there in itself is what I need to make it to this society. 22 years of being behind these bars it's hard. And the readjustment was a hard thing. I do not know how to explain it, besides the fact that I'm willing to do anything to have another chance to become a productive member of society. Anything. When I left, I was on medium parole, and then I was down to minimum parole. Maximum parole, I'd gladly take that, any chance to get out there and be able to go back to school, because there is no educational opportunities here on this unit or on this complex for me to gain anything that I have not gained already through WBE or college. I've gone through, I have Electrical 1, Electrical 2, Carpentry 1, Carpentry 2, Horticulture, Landscaping Development, all the Rio Salado courses that were offered, I took. I even have an Electrical 3 in my hand right here. I do plan on becoming an electrician. It's going to take me about 3 more years of school and gainful employment. I have four addresses and of different companies in Arizona that will hire me on the spot right now because of my past performance through Rio Salado. I spent 3.5 years as a teacher's aide right here in Lewis Complex. I'm begging, please don't throw me away into this system again. I'm begging. I will lose everything I have gained and the support system I have in place.
Okay, sir. The board's going to do a discussion. We'll be talking amongst ourselves and make a decision. We ask you to stay on the phone and just remain silent while we're talking. You may think we're aggressive here, but we won't be. But we work under the open meeting laws of Arizona, so you're entitled to listen to the entire conversation. So we'll get back to you in a couple of minutes, okay, sir?
All right. Thank you. Thank you for your time.
The board is now in discussion. It's kind of unfortunate. He's been quite a few years incarcerated, and the rest of his stuff coming out. But it seems that it started right off after being 22 years inside. I would have thought he understood that he has to be respectful and follow orders and do what's expected of him on the outside to maintain his release. But he was arguing and threatening him in and out of the race house 2 or 3 times for various discharges. discharge reasons, where we ended up at the Mesa House, is the last thing? A good wife and company, and then left and we wouldn't tell anybody, and we had a girl charging, and became an absconder. Questionable as the circumstances that got the Mesa Police Department involved with him pounding on that door. And I know it seems to be that, or it would seem to be that he made a lot of racket to have a neighbor call the police about it. Well, I don't know, he doesn't seem to want to follow the rules. And it's a very big mess that you have to follow all the rules, and at least to the extent you follow them inside, and generally it's even more so that you can maintain your release. This time, with all the circumstances involved and everything, I am not in favor of returning Mr. Ashley Felter to community supervision, but I'm willing to listen to discussion from any of my fellow board members.
Sounds good.
Yes, it is.
Okay, thank you.
It is unfortunate that, based on our information in number 201AW1007, Mr. Ashley Felter's statements, all the information from the Department of Corrections, I move the revoke of community supervision of Mr. Ashley Felter as it is the way to violate term conditions of supervision and had acts or not acts in criminal ways or company.
Second.
Agreed.
Agreed. And then it's served. Motion by myself, second by Mr. Kimonis, agreed by Dr. Wright and Mr. Johnson. And so the board has votes in the revoke of community supervision at this time. It is going to be a while before you get out, but your behavior on the outside was questionable for several months out there. I mean, you have to follow the rules. I don't know if they have it on your yard, but I would suggest that you try to get some anger management programming in the time you have remaining. You might even be able to get some of that to Lewis Lyle. It's not the normal college classes, but you need to get something in that manner so that you can go out and follow the rules. And that's whether you have DOC watching over your shoulder or whether you're completely released. And as it currently stands, according to our information, November 13, 2020, you will be released without responsibility to Department of Corrections unless there is a probation that we don't know about. If there isn't any other probations, then you don't have anybody to answer to, and you have to follow the rules of society, but you could then get back inside if you can't control your anger. So we do wish you best luck, and we ask you. Pardon me?
So I am confined until 2013?
Yes, sir.
I have no chance at any of that.
I don't know what other types of release might be available. I don't know why the rules on regular parole or anything, but as far as the truth of sentencing release, the community supervision, if this was your only chance on that. So you can probably feel free about other possibilities of release, but as far as the truth and sentencing committee supervision release, this you will be remain incarcerated until November 13, 2020. So this will be a hearing, sir, and can you please put the CFO back on the phone?